Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, November 26th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is Christ the King Sunday. It is once again a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, here at the end of the current liturgical year as we get ready to start over again to reset our liturgical calendar next week at the beginning of the season of Advent, as today we celebrate the centrality, the veneration of our Lord Jesus above all powers, above all kings, Christ alone. And so let's prepare to do that. Let's take a deep breath. Maybe stand up if you need to work off a little of that Thanksgiving meal still. And breathe. Celebrate the gift of life by taking in the breath of life. And call to mind those things that you're most thankful for. Maybe some of those things you prayed about over Thanksgiving dinner. The people and the places and the situations and the opportunities that inspire you and warm your heart. Thank God for all of these things. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky. And in this posture, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the opening prayer. You can find the opening prayer printed in your digital bulletin. You just go to the left of where you found today's podcast. Just below there's a tab that you can click on, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Shepherd of Israel, hear our prayer. As your Son heard the plea of the criminal crucified with him, gather into Christ's holy reign the broken, the sorrowing, the sinner, that all may know wholeness, joy, and forgiveness. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew's gospel in the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us. We call out to you and we pray. We pray that we would be truly inspired by this, your good word, so that we could see you in every face, that we could glorify you with every word and deed of our lives. Come to us now, we pray. Help us to truly listen for the message that you have for each and every one of us, the message you have for your church, this body of Christ, and those things that you have that are very personal to each and every one of us. Save us, we pray, from misinterpretation and distraction, and lead us into your presence. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, here we are at the beginning of the holiday season. I pray that your Thanksgiving celebrations were meaningful and special. I pray that you had time to give thanks to God for all that is good, for the blessings that are a part of your life, even in the midst of challenge. Which I think does get to what Matthew is sharing with us in today's gospel reading. Holidays. When I think of holidays and what holidays, the holidays mean to me, particularly at this time of year, these days between Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. I think of the fun, the gift giving and the special foods and parties and potlucks and Christmas pageants and plays and movies, all these good things that are intended to lighten our spirits and be celebrations of the good things that are a part of our daily living. But I pray, too, that as followers in the way of Christ, we will experience these days as holy days. Days where we dig a little deeper into our faith, where we make a little bit more time to devote our attention to God and what God has done and what we are to do with our lives while we wait for God to sort it all out at the end of history. Over the past several weeks, we've considered the parables of Jesus as he's teaching on that topic, as he's preparing his disciples for his departure, as he's preparing his disciples for what is immediately to come, preparing them for his betrayal and arrest, for his death, his resurrection, for his ascension and his promised return, all of that present in those parables. Parables, in summary, that sound something like a master or a bridegroom who is coming. The master, in some of the parables, has talked to the servants, told them that he'll be going away on a business trip of some sorts, looks for a commitment on their behalf, and then trusts them to do the right thing while he's away, only to learn that when he returns, some have been paying attention and others haven't. True for them and true for us. And I think a way for us to reflect on how we can make these days holy. Jesus teaching the disciples opens with this line in today's reading: when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne, the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered, and he'll have a time of sorting. And he uses the illustration of sheep and goats. The sheep will be at his right hand, the goats on the left. And here's how he'll know the difference. He'll know the difference between the sheep and the goats by how they live their lives, in particular, their ability to show compassion and generosity and charity. The king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." The righteous answered him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, and I think, hang on to this. You know it, but hear it like you're hearing it for the first time. The king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." This is a time of year when we will be bombarded with requests from all kinds of nonprofit organizations, charitable organizations, for support. And I think it's important for us to select among those and prayerfully offer whatever support that we can offer. I think one of the things that happens, because it's like a bombardment of requests, is that we become numb to it. Or even in a more favorable light, we have opportunities to serve and to give. Maybe that's pulling an angel off the angel tree and buying some presents for a child of someone who's incarcerated, or for a child who will not really have a very full celebration of Christmas if we don't offer a little help. And I say this all the time, but it always bears repeating. That's a holy moment. Jesus is telling us here, that's not nothing. That's not just a little nicety. That's not just something that we do as an act, somewhat selfish act, because it makes us feel better. It makes us feel good. It lights up our hearts, because that is holy ground. That is us living into the fullness of who God created us to be. And it takes different forms for us. It's not that all of us do all of these things, although I know people who do all of these things. I know people who have this incredible ability to be compassionate and generous and giving in all things. Friends that work a couple of jobs but still volunteer at church, still go on the mission trips, seem to have no end to their capacity to serve and to love. And for those of us who are not quite gifted that way, it might be that we just choose one or two of them. But to do them not to avoid the outer darkness, not to avoid being cast out, but that our motivation is to receive and participate in the love of God, because we've taken the time to consider the teachings of Jesus, and we know that every meal that we pass to the one who is hungry, every charitable dollar we give to the needy, the ones in need of that charity, those gifts that we make to the hospitals that bring about cure and healing for those who don't have the resources to pay for those services, every time we do it to our Lord Jesus. Because as he says, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Now that's focusing on one side of what Jesus is saying. It may be that you are among the least of these. It may be that you're in the situation right now that without some kind of charitable help, without the compassion of the church, you're going to get pulled under. You'll find yourself feeling desperate and lost. You'll find that your experience of the world is of a place that is callous and cold and uncaring. And it may be that your own pride or ego prevents you from reaching out and asking for the help you need. In refusing that help, In refusing to seek the help you need, you might be denying somebody's opportunity to love God through their love of you. This, I hear, is an invitation to do something that I know is deep in the heart of most anyone I know. I know people that have been hurt, deeply, deeply hurt by the world around them. I know people who have been deeply, deeply hurt by the church when she becomes petty and internalized. But I know this. Most everybody, if not everybody, has a heart of compassion. If we are all members of the family of God, if we are all fearfully and wonderfully made, if we all bear the thumbprint and the breath of the divine, then we all have the ability, in ways great and small, to be like our Lord Jesus. That our acts of charity, the check that you write to that particular organization, when you cut that check or click the give button, pause. Before you sign your name and before you click send, pause and pray that this will be received as an act of holiness and grace and peace, that you do this act, that you volunteer your time in the name of Christ, that you offer this money in the name of Christ, that you receive the blessing in the name of Christ. And then when the Master returns, and we've become a people who give and receive in the name of Christ, who love neighbor and family and friends for the love of God and to God's glory, God comes, the Lord returns, and he surveys the landscape. And to the best of his assessment, through the divine eyes, he sees nothing but sheep. And he speaks his blessing over them. And he loves them. And they are all welcomed in. Christ is King. And we confess the kingship of Christ, the reign of God through the person of Jesus Christ, with every act of holiness, every prayer offered, every dollar invested, every moment of time given. Christ comes. The kingdom of the heavens draws near. This is a challenging read. And like every Sunday, I encourage you to read and reread it. Read it in the context of all of chapter 25. Read it bookmarked between chapter 25, verse 31, the beginning of today's reading, and the beginning of the next chapter, 26, verse 1. Read it as we begin these holidays and we make our holiday plans with the eyes of the holy to see. And in doing so, we will find rich good news. To which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray on this day, and we celebrate you as Lord of all, King of kings. And we pray that you'd meet us right here, right now, at the beginning of these special days. And we pray for your presence in the midst of our celebrations, for the best of this season and in the midst of the hard parts of this season. Oh God, join us in all of it. Be our inspiration, our guide, and our light. God, we pray over this, your good world, and for those who, for a time, find themselves in positions of power, earthly kings, if you will. God, I pray that you would bring inspiration, even to, if it's just a few of them. Show them the way. Bless them with humility. Bless them with grace and peace, that they might be agents of this grace and peace of yours. And we pray for the ordinary folks, our friends and neighbors, the people around us in traffic or in line at the store. Help us to be salt and light and grace and peace. Help us to show your love to them, to bring them your charity, your kindness, and your attention. And for those among us, O God, who are feeling very vulnerable right now, at a loss as to what's next or where to go with the problems that we're facing, help us to first and foremost seek your face and your comfort and your care. And we pray, O God, put people in our path that can truly help us, people that can truly heal us. In this moment of prayer, we're all together, God. Those with the resources to help and those in most need. It's a beautiful circle of loving care that you've created, this family of God, this kingdom of the heavens. Help us to live fully and celebrate fully as your beloved children, as members of your family. You know, each and every one of us, God, you know what these prayer lists look like, this list of joys and concerns. And so we make a moment, we pause during this prayer to share our hearts with you, our prayer lists, our thoughts. All of it we bring to you in this time of peace and quiet. We break our silence. We give you thanks for the gift of peace and quiet. Help us to practice these gifts every day. And we thank you for the blessing of those who have gone before us, who have preserved for us our scriptures and our songs and our prayers. We pray that you hear us as we say together this prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, O God, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways this day, I pray that we do so with our attention finely tuned to the presence of Christ all around us, in the faces and in the voices and in the wants and the needs, in the prosperity and the generosity of every man, woman, and child we encounter, in particular over the next several weeks during these holidays, these holy days. Enter into these days knowing that God is with you. This God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who sees you and knows you deeply and dearly and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.